Today during Cap Radio special coverage, the statue of John Sutter outside Sutter General Hospital in Sacramento is being taken down this afternoon by the hospital group. Also, California's governor gave residents a reassessment of the state's COVID-19 status. And as part of our rural reporting project, we hear from some Sierra Foothill communities about juggling the pandemic and the key summer tourism season. I'm Randall White. Join us just after the news. This is Cap Radio's special coverage. I'm Randall White, and today we're looking into the reopening of California during the COVID-19 pandemic as cases continue to rise, including hospitalizations. Governor Gavin Newsom says the state is in a good position to handle the uptick, and we'll hear from Cap Radio's Nicole Nixon with more on what the governor had to say today. Also, a look at how rural California is faring through all of this just as the key summer tourism season starts. But first, Cap Radio's Sammy Keola was outside Sacramento's Sutter General Hospital just moments ago, where a statue of John Sutter is being taken down by Sutter Health. The move is one in a string of statue removals nationwide that were monuments to people with reputations for being racists. Here's the latest from Sammy.
So I'm here at the John Sutter statue, which is at 28th and L. It is right by Sutter's Fort and by the Sutter Medical Center. And right now they've got the statue sort of on a holster, sort of suspended. They've been drilling and it looks like cutting at the base. I'm trying to basically remove it from a pedestal that it's on. There are a few dozen people here, probably fewer than 50 people, just watching as this happens. People have been chanting, tear it down, take it down. A lot of people have signs about Sutter's impact to Native American lands. A lot of the Native American people that I've interviewed while I've been here have said they are really upset that the statue has remained here as long as it has. And they talk about a lot of atrocities that John Sutter committed against tribes when he was starting to build in Sacramento. I also talked to a lot of people who were just walking by and saw a crowd gathering and just came to check it out. And a lot of people said they didn't really know John Sutter's history and that they were really surprised to see a change like this. Even the Native American people I talked to who were part of the organization that requested that this be taken down, they actually didn't know that it was going to be removed today. So this was a surprise to them. My understanding is that the statue was donated to Sutter Health, and Sutter Health decided it was time to take it down. The Native American people that I've spoken to here say this has really been a long time coming. They're really happy that someone is acknowledging some of the problematic history around John Sutter. A lot of people are asking, what comes next? Are we going to change the name of the health center? Are we going to change the name of the fort, of parks with Sutter's name? John Sutter has really been a symbol in our city, a very prominent one. So it's an interesting moment. People are a mix of happy and upset. I did talk to a few people who said they didn't want to see the statue taken down, that even if it's problematic history, it is part of our history and that it should stay in place.
And that's Cap Radio's Sammy Keola outside Sacramento's Sutter General Hospital this afternoon. She'll have a much more robust story on our website at capradio.org, including some of the history of John Sutter. You can find that today, a little bit later on today. So Governor Gavin Newsom addressed California residents this afternoon with the latest data on the COVID-19 pandemic. He says the state is in a good position to handle the current rate of coronavirus cases. His comments come at a time when we see case numbers rising, statewide restrictions being removed. But others have some concern over lax enforcement and participation in social distancing rules, as well as a reluctance to wear facial masks. Here's a comment we got today from a Cap Radio listener.
This is Linda from Sacramento, California. I understand that people are eager to return to normal and may not feel especially comfortable wearing a mask. As an older person, I too want to get back to normal. And I long to hug my grandchildren, enjoy potlucks again, and go to movies. I teach yoga and I live an active life, but because of my age and because my immune system may be compromised, I and most of my friends feel that it's unsafe to go out. buying groceries or other essentials can be an ordeal, dodging people who either don't understand what 6 feet looks like or simply don't care, or people who wear masks below their faces. I and my friends worry that these last years of our life are being spent in isolation, and that every time we venture out, our lives are being put at risk. We worry about how long we're going to have to stay home, a year, 2 years, longer. I can't help feel, and my friends echo this, that our lives as older people don't matter, that we've had our lives and it's time to let younger people have theirs. In other words, that our lives are expendable for the sake of their freedom to forego masks and distance requirements.
And we thank Linda in Sacramento for sharing that opinion with us today. Cap Radio's Nicole Nixon has been following this story for months since the beginning and joins us now with more on the governor's comments today. And Nicole, he says we should expect spikes in COVID cases during this reopening process.
Yeah, he's been saying that for a few weeks now as the state looks to reopen. Also, as the state ramps up its testing, that it's normal, it's expected to see increases in cases. But the governor also spent a lot of time today reassuring people that, you know, the state is prepared in case of surges. We've spent the past couple months building up hospital capacity, acquiring PPE and distributing it throughout the state. So he really spent a lot of his press conference today sort of giving that reassurance that, yes, cases are rising, but we are expecting this and we are prepared for this.
And I think we have some sound from him regarding preparation for these spikes.
As we mix, as we reopen, inevitably, we're going to see an increase in the total number of cases. It's our capacity to address that that is so foundational and to make sure we're prepared for spikes.
Now, Nicole, he pointed out that there are a handful of counties out of the 58, I think 13 he named, or he didn't name them. He just mentioned there were 13 that they're keeping a closer eye on.
Yeah, and this has been sort of an organic list that the State Department of Health has had. Sacramento County was on this list last week, but we are no longer. There was a spike in hospitalizations here last week, but Los Angeles was on there last week and is still on it. A couple other counties of Fresno. So these are counties that, you know, they're keeping an eye on. They are monitoring. The state is watching the data in these counties. And he says if they need some technical assistance to address growth in cases or hospitalizations, the state is willing and ready to step in.
And he mentioned also aspects of reopening safely. And I want to bring this up for you and then I'll bring you in on the other side of it.
Localism ultimately is determinative, that we recognize local conditions are distinct and unique from one another. And we recognize that conditions in far reaches of California and northern parts of the state are very different than in the San Francisco Bay Area, very different than the Los Angeles region. And accordingly, we have afforded the ability for local health directors, working, of course, very collaborative with their elected officials, to make determinations for themselves on when to move forward through our phased-in approach. As many of you have heard me say in the past, we put up guidelines, but guidelines don't mean go.
And again, he's pointing out that vast difference that we have in California here, urban versus rural.
Yes, and this has been a consistent theme throughout this crisis. Today, and that quote was a very clear shift for him saying, you know, the state has been doing all of this, and now it's up to the counties to control their outbreaks. It's up to the counties to actually make those decisions, sort of shifting the responsibility to local authorities there.
All right, Cap Radio's Nicole Nixon on the latest from the governor. Thank you, Nicole. And as we heard the governor mention, the approaches to the pandemic vary from region to region. We hear a lot about Sacramento's restaurants reopening, especially Midtown, downtown, all of that. But what about our foothill communities? You know, Cap Radio has a very large footprint here in California and also Nevada. Well, Cap Radio's senior community engagement strategist, Jessica Maria Ross, is very interested in all of that, and she joins us right now. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Randall.
So you've launched Cap Radio's Rural Reporting Project, And I imagine you put that together, not being an on-air person, rural reporting isn't the easiest thing to say, but it's a very important project which focuses on Plumas and Sierra counties. How many people live in these areas?
Well, let's see. In Sierra County, there's around 3,000 people, and Plumas County currently has just under 22,000. So these are smaller counties. People are kind of distributed across a lot of small towns in a lot of mountain areas.
Yeah. Help describe what the project does.
Well, we're really trying to do, you know, Randall, like you said, CAP Radio's footprint is really huge. Most people might associate us with Sacramento or maybe even Reno, but we're all in between. We've got all of these rural communities in the Central Valley, the foothills, and also the High Sierra. So what we really wanted to do in this project is listen and learn from them about what are the, how is the pandemic reverberating in these communities? Is it similar or different to the rural, to the urban and suburban communities that we've been hearing a lot about?
Jessica, what'd you find with this survey? Were there things that really stood out?
Yes. Well, you know, since we couldn't, because it was shelter in place in May when we started, we couldn't go up as reporters and hang out and meet people. So we did a survey. And in that survey, we really asked people their top concerns and comforts. And their top concerns that were different than most is the balance and tension around wanting to reopen, because tourism is a huge part of these local economies.
Right.
But how do you do that and keep your community safe?
Yeah, and we're heading into that peak tourism season, which we'll hear about coming up in just a little bit here this half hour. Were you surprised by the number of people that chose to take part in the survey?
I was. You know, online surveys don't usually get a lot of responses. And in mid-May, when we were putting out this call, the survey, that was that moment where, I don't know about you, Randall, but like there were lots of surveys floating around. Like everyone was trying to, you know, understand what people's challenges and needs and aspirations were.
So we were at a point in our lives that none of us have ever been through.
Oh, completely. And so we didn't think we'd get that many back, but we only put out the survey for 12 days, so not even 2 full weeks. And in that time, Randall, we got well over 200 responses. And that's a lot, not only in survey response rate terms, but when you're talking about, you know, 23,000 people roughly all together, it was quite a bit. And we got them really quickly.
It's a good sampling for that size of a community. Were there some pretty large extremes that you saw?
Large extremes. I think that what I saw mostly is that people, yes, I guess there were two extremes. There were the extremes that you mentioned when you were talking with Nicole a moment ago. There were quite a few people that were really concerned about public health and safety. These communities, Randall, are also older communities, I should say. It's a demographic where there's a lot of people that are over 65. So there's a lot of folks who were really focused on social distancing, being safe, not reopening, not wanting what they call outsiders coming in. And then on the other side, there were people who did not want to have to wear masks. They did not feel, they felt like we needed to reopen. They needed to revive the economies by any means necessary. So those were the two kind of, I would say, extremes that we did see.
What are some of the comforts that people want during this pandemic?
What we saw, well, we asked people not so much what they wanted, but what was giving them a sense of comfort and connection and inspiration. We wanted to know, like, you know, for rural communities, what's it like there? Because I think something that did come out in the survey that's unique to rural communities, Randall, is that they're used to being more isolated and sheltered.
All right. Jessica Maria Ross, thank you so much. We have a lot more to look forward to on that, including the very first story to come out of the Rural Reporting Project. That is up just after the break. This is Special Coverage here on CAP Radio. I'm Randall White. This is Cap Radio special coverage. I'm Randall White. Residents who live in areas of California that haven't been hit hard by COVID-19 are facing a challenge. How do you reopen the economy when tourists or people from places where there are many more cases of coronavirus are your number one source of revenue? Cap Radio's Bob Moffitt reports from north of the Sacramento region in the Sierra foothills as we launch our new rural reporting project.
When you drive into Sierra County, a bright yellow sign blares in all caps, visitors kindly distance from our communities. A one-lane bridge crosses the North Yuba River in the town of Downeyville, which is in the middle of the Tahoe National Forest, about 110 miles north of Sacramento. It's lined with old brick and wood frame buildings. In the middle of town, Carl Butts is trying to figure out how to keep a mask on, carry on a conversation, and smoke a cigarette. A couple of locals are giving him a hard time.
It's over my nose. You know, it's always been just a fashion statement anyway.
He's kidding, but he and half the town of 200 are wearing them. He's 72 and at greater risk of infection. Butts publishes the Mountain Messenger, the oldest weekly paper in the state.
You know, people are frightened of getting it, of having people like yourself come up here. You know, outsiders.
One case could lead to others, and with a town the size of Downeyville, that could bring trouble for everyone.
Oh, that's the right key for this door.
And that's a quandary.
You know, we like the tourists. We live off that tourism. You know, at the same time, no one wants to get ill.
The thought of tourists sounds great to Jay and Gaylene Elliott. They just opened the Boomtown Lounge Wine and Beer Bar.
I like the chicken tamale. And a beer.
We have two different beers.
Gaylene says right now it's to-go orders only with a snack. Jay's still pulling the plastic off of some kind of packaging.
So we have a salami cheese olive cracker plate for $5 teeny-weeny bucks.
They feel like they're locals, but they still drive up every weekend from Sonoma County to work on their business. They have 100 masks from the county and don't want to be the source of an outbreak.
As soon as somebody walks up without a mask, or even if I see them going to the store next door without a mask, I just yell at them, would you like a mask?
She didn't have to yell at Bob Maycomber. He and his wife Carol are wearing masks and keeping their distance, but that guard's coming down when their family gets here from Rockland and they head off to go camping.
When you got grandchildren, it's hard not to give them a hug.
He thinks both families have been responsible about social distancing.
There's no guarantees in life, but we're trying to not make any stupid decisions.
Up the road outside the town of Beckworth, Gary Romano opened the only farmer's market in Plumas County a couple of weeks early. Some of the vendors are from out of the area. Large white X's mark the spot where they set up, and arrows tell people what traffic pattern to follow.
And a vendor here.
He thinks it's safer than the store.
The grocery store, it seems like we have a lot of interaction. You're waiting in line at the checkout. You have no choice but to cross close paths. Where here we have the option of open air. Nothing is handled by the customer.
At Leonard's IGA in Portola, Charles Scoville is standing on an X in the parking lot with a black print mask on his face. But he works at the Dollar General.
I've just been busy.
Is it busier these 2 months than it was last year? Sort of weird, isn't it? People are supposed to be staying home, but...
Nobody stays home. Nobody cares.
Normally, Jeffrey's Pub and Grub over in Quincy would also be busy and noisy.
Hi, how are you? Doing okay.
But today, you can hear every word of the conversation between the owner and her two customers. It's been only 4 days since the county allowed Anna Jeffrey to reopen. She says no matter what the health orders are, they won't please everyone.
There's always going to be somebody that's not happy with whatever we end up doing. I am all for the tourists coming back. I'm all for being a tourist again. I want to go places. I want people to be able to come here. So,
whether it be Sierra or Plumas County, the masks have to come off at some point. The question is, what will happen when they do? Bob Moffitt, Cap Radio News.
Okay, as we heard in Bob's piece right there, clearly there are varying opinions as to whether, you know, people that live in rural areas want outsiders coming in. Deborah Moore is the managing editor for PlumasNews.com. That's the overarching organization behind four local papers throughout the region. They stopped printing those papers back on April 8th in the beginning portions of the pandemic, but they're still doing plenty of news on the website. And Deborah joins us right now. Welcome to Cap Radio, Deborah.
Thank you for having me.
So, Deborah, what What are you getting? What sort of sense are you getting in terms of whether people that live in these rural Sierra counties want the tourist season to restart?
Well, I think it's probably like it is elsewhere in California. There's mixed feelings. We are a heavily tourist-based economy, and many of our businesses, of course, are make their money during these summer months and really need the influx of visitors. But we also know that with the influx of visitors comes the potential of a spread of the virus, which nobody here wants, because we have three small rural hospitals to serve our county.
Right. And if those hospitals get filled up because tourists are there, then there's no rooms available for the locals should, COVID peak again.
Correct. So I think that each of our hospitals, as I recall, has two ICU beds that would be available with ventilators. Realistically, anybody that needed that sort of attention would probably be taken elsewhere, depending on availability. Mm-hmm. You know, we've held steady with four confirmed cases since early April, and then just today we received our fifth confirmed case.
And this is throughout all of Plumas County?
All of Plumas County, population about 18,000.
Mm-hmm. And we are starting to see cases rise in areas where there hadn't been many cases. Calaveras County has seen quite a few cases in recent weeks. What is the main concern there? Are people worried that there's going to be a second wave and maybe Plumas County could get harder this second time around?
I think that's the concern. And then, of course, everything's just reopened. And we know that if there are an increase in cases, then we could be forced to take some steps back. We are lucky here in that it's a sparsely populated area, so we have lots of room, and most of our attractions are outdoors, so people can get out and recreate with proper social distancing. I think more of the concern is when people come inside and go to the restaurants or the stores, that everybody takes the proper precautions, and like elsewhere, it seems some people take it seriously and some people don't.
And some of the feedback that we've gotten is that many people see this pandemic as absolutely crippling to the Plumas County economy. And I imagine through your reporting, you're seeing plenty of that as well.
It's interesting because it's sort of by sector. Right now, the restaurants are seeing a pretty good business, and the tourists are coming back, and you actually have to make reservations. And so that area, I think, is doing well. Some of the retail is suffering. Of course, where I am, I'm working in this huge building pretty much by myself, because back in April when we published our last newspaper, we had to lay off 73 people. So we would really like to see, of course, the strong economy come back, but safely.
Yeah. Deborah Moore is the managing editor for PlumasNews.com. That's the overarching organization for four local papers there in the Plumas County area. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Randall. Have a good day.
And that is our special coverage for today, but keep it right here because in just a few minutes, we'll have an update on the Sacramento Zoo reopening. Remember, it was going to reopen, then it didn't. Well, now it is going to for sure. We'll be back here tomorrow at 3:30 with more special coverage. I'm Randall White.